ended up going to a print shop this week. It's a print shop that happens to be run by a Seventh-day Adventist. I happened to realize that when he mentioned, well, I'm a Sabbath keeper too, so I kind of brought it to the forefront. But he and his wife are evidently members there. And I didn't get into what we end up teaching here because they were already learning just from what I was having them do. They were learning about the name of Yahweh. They're learning about the name of Yahshua just by us living as we're living. We presented to them the truth. I didn't have to, you know, shake them and try to rile them up or anything like that. I ended up going back to pick up the item that I dropped off, and I happened to have a Hallelujah shirt on. Another witness, another testimony, another aid in witnessing and sharing the truth. They didn't say anything about it, but they saw it. They I think, knew what it meant and everything. They did ask me one question because of what I had given them. They ended up asking about, well, why the name change because of the former organizational structure that had changed. And I explained to them what had happened. And so there was a bit of a witness testimony because at that time we had stood up for the members and stood up for what was true and right in Yahweh's sight. But that's now past and gone. But as we live Yahweh's way, as we share the word, just in our lifestyle, it's a very powerful witness. And today I'd like to talk to you about the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Well, isn't it to go forth and make disciples of the nations, right? We are as fishers, or fishermen, fishing for men, like harvesters who are bringing in the harvest of wheat. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, Yahshua speaking, or Yahshua being referred to Yahshua, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the master of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Now this actually may have been, it's been brought up before, that this may have been a sabbatical. Why were all the people gathered around? Didn't they have work to do? Well, during a sabbatical, there isn't any work to do, at least not in the fields. And the fields could have been pointed to by Yahshua. There was no workers out in the fields at that time. He was teaching in part about the commission. He told them, and he tells us, pray, the work needs workers. What else was Yahshua doing? Backing up to verse 35, Yahshua was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the evangel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. The Great Commission includes telling about the coming kingdom and what will it be like, and to help people to repent and to live accordingly. Can we do anything like this? Can we teach it? Can we share it? What is needed? Well, prayer is certainly needed. Tithes and offerings, producing many studies, in-depth booklets, magazines, newsletters, CDs, DVDs, internet websites, and the best of all, by word of mouth and example. We have to live and walk according to what we're preaching, according to what we believe to be true. Yahshua was sent, and he sends us. Matthew 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Of course, he's speaking to the Father, and it's giving an example. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. It's not always easy to know how to react to some people, but we are to give it thought each time and to be humble and innocent. And at times, rebuking is in order, but it is not the norm. It helps if we understand what is happening in the world. because the spirit of error won't listen to us. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Elohim, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yahshua Messiah has come in the flesh is from Elohim, and every spirit that does not confess Yahshua is not from Elohim. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, of which you have heard of and is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and as the world listens to them, we are from Elohim. He knows Elohim, or he who knows Elohim listens to us. He who is not from Elohim does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, what's that saying? Well, there's a lot of things that are being said here. But Yahshua, or rather Yahweh, does the calling. And so we're called out. We're given understanding. But this anti-Messiah spirit influences many today. But in some it resides and cannot be removed. We are not immune to the effects of the spirit if we let our guard down. But we are not to listen to it. 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit, that is Yahweh's Spirit, explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Notice, they're in the faith. They're going to be deceived. They're going to be falling away because of doctrines of demons, because of the influence of the anti-Messiah spirit. So what is that? Well, how about anti-Pauline beliefs, which end up leading one to throughout the New Testament? Is that an anti-Messiah spirit? Is that a doctrine of the demons? I suppose so. How about oneness, or the Trinity doctrine, denying the Messiah? Essentially, because if you think the Messiah is the Father, you've essentially denied the Son. Faith alone teachings which lead to relativism. We decide what is right versus what is wrong, which is a broad way back into the world, essentially denying the Messiah and what he actually came to do. All anti-Messiah spirit. Is the world knocking down our doors to find out what they should be doing? I don't think so. Or are they walking according to what they believe? Amos 8 and 11. Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh Elohim, when I will send a famine of the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of Yahweh. People are deaf. They cannot hear. But look who's stopping up their ears. Look who is turning them over to a debased mind. Famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh. Hasn't Yahweh sent a delusion among the peoples? Isn't it ultimately because they have refused to listen to Yahweh? Is hearing important? Crossing the road, understanding a spouse, two ears, one mouth. With hearing comes faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. Two eyes even gives depth. Elder John told me that last Sabbath, and I was very happy to hear that because I hadn't thought about it. Yeah, two eyes, depth, perception. We're given spiritual eyes from Messiah, from the Spirit of Yahweh. Spirit gives insight, but if rejected, gives us problems. What are cause and effect principles? What is the effect of working all the time? Focusing on a career, what is the lasting effect of that? What is the effect of pornography, alcoholism, gambling, smoking, etc.? We're given a choice, and we're essentially told throughout Scripture that we can break the chains, to break the chains of those things which bind us. So the lesson, or teaching is to free yourself through repentance, through seeking Yahweh and His righteousness, and living according to His word and life in Messiah. What is the world in general doing with their free time? Cable and satellite TV with 200 plus stations? They'll watch anything and everything. It takes up a lot of time. World Wide Web, some have surfing addictions. Even virtual reality games are becoming more prevalent. Why? Because people are wanting to escape reality. And yet we need to deal with reality. We need to deal with the things that we're presented with. They're presented for a reason. We're to overcome. I think we heard that earlier. We're to overcome. And there's blessings if we do. AM, FM radio, now satellite radio. Even the cell phone is no longer just a phone, but a small computer. So you can go on Facebook and other social networks. Well, you know, some of that stuff is not wrong. It depends on what you do with it. It's just like a deck of cards. Well, a deck of cards isn't wrong. But if you want to squander away your life savings with those deck of cards, then that's a problem. Because Yahweh doesn't want us to do that. It's an error. How about the wrong kind of friends? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Maybe bad TV. How about that? You know, I was watching something recently. I've been actually watching a series. I finally discontinued doing so. It wasn't because of what they were showing necessarily. It was actually educational. But it was how they were reacting and interreacting with one another. It was vile. It was an abomination. It wasn't right. We are not to be dealing with one another in a hateful and hurtful manner. We are to serve and learn from one another and work with one another. And we deal with flesh. It's not always the easiest thing to deal with everyone. But, you know, we're here. We need to deal with it. And so we do. And at times, you know, I think we go through some difficulties because we bring those things on ourselves because we're not able to relate immediately with one another. You know, say we have someone new that comes in. They're from the world. We're to help them, but they're still dealing with worldly things. They have habits that they're coming in with. And it's up to them to overcome, but we're here to help as much as possible. So we don't want to reject, but we do have to admonish and rebuke at times. But getting back to the technology, is it good? Well, some of it's good. But sure easy to sow to the flesh, to seek pleasure rather than Yahweh. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Getting involved with the pleasures, seeking, entertainment and distractions from reality, when that takes up all your time, that's a problem. And it ends up being idol worship. Because when it takes you away from Yahweh and you no longer are serving Yahweh the way He expects you to serve, it's an idol to you. So you have to eliminate it, get rid of it. Same with the bad company. I mean, it took me a while to see what was going on, but I found myself in watching the show and how they were interacting. I actually was in a situation where I thought about saying something like they would have said, and I had to stop myself. And I realized I need to stop watching that show because I'm just going to end up being like them. And this is one of the reasons it's very important for us to come together in obedience to Yahweh, doing His will, and have fellowship and these type of things. Because it goes back to the scripture, iron sharpens iron. We can help one another, but we have to do it in an obedient and loving way. Towards the Father. He comes first. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We know that Yahweh has sent a delusion, and most people are carnal and flesh-oriented, since Yahweh has turned them over to a debased mind. Yet there is hope and purpose being worked out, and we still need to reach out and help those Yahweh's calling and that Yahshua is choosing. Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Broad is the way to destruction. Did you know that there's a Broadway church over in Columbia? just the town down. And, of course, they named it that way because it's Broadway, the street. But still, didn't they think about what they were doing? The Broadway church? Did they read their Bible? We're sensitive to these type of things because, and we were, you know, it's because we search the scriptures. It's because we want to find out what Yahweh wants from us. He's given us a spirit and an earnest to desire to study his word. And we can't neglect it. And we're not to be stepping out of line with his word, nor giving the appearance of evil. Does the famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh actually help work out Yahweh's word? Or his overall plan. Let's look at Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. Return, O faithless sons, declares Yahweh, for I am a master to you, and I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. One from a city, two from a family. Let's see. One, two, three, four. Yeah, and the city surrounding, I think this is working out. Yahweh is working out something that is amazing. And he's not going to leave, you know, he's not forsaking us. We're doing the work. We're able to get things done. But is with a few, not many. And it is astounding, I think, when some people come and find out what's happening. But it's not just us. There are others also doing the work. And it is a good thing. Matthew 22 and verse 14. What does Yahshua say? For many are called, but few are chosen. Is many 7 billion people? Because that's the population in the world. Is Yahweh calling everybody? It's not what his word says. He says many. Well, many to us would be like 1 million, 500,000, 200,000. That's quite a few. It could be many. But out of the many, few are chosen. So here we are, few. Matthew 13, 10 through 11. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables, to the peoples? Yahshua answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. And I thought about taking resources. I thought about taking, you know, a bunch of booklets and stuff to the Seventh-day Adventist, who I found out was, you know, we're dealing with in business. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to choke them out. I wanted to let them ask the questions, and I was there ready to be of service. And I knew there was enough information they were getting just from what I was presenting already. I didn't have to tell them, look, the Father's name, we believe the Father's name is Yahweh, and his name is Yahshua. They could see it. I was handing it to them. So it was getting to them. I didn't have to go further than that. But I did answer a question, and maybe there'll be some other questions. Maybe they'll call. Maybe we'll do a little bit more business, and maybe things will be done. But it's all in Yahweh's hands. It's a seed planted. Maybe we can do some more watering. But ultimately, as the Apostle Paul stated, Yahweh causes the growth. And I think it's important to remember that it is Yahweh doing these things, not us. Now, it is true that we've been brought in and we are helping. But ultimately, if we are submitting to Yahweh's Spirit, following his word, I mean, it's him. I mean, we're saying yes to him, and we're asking others to say yes as well. But it's really his doing, and it fits with Scripture, not by might nor by strength, says Yahweh, but by my Spirit, and it is accomplished by him. So what do you do when people don't want to listen? Do we stop talking? No. Ezekiel 2 and verse 7, "But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious." You know, are we going to stop being obedient? Maybe the government will say, "Hey, you can't be worshiping on the Sabbath day." Are we going to stop? We have to obey Yahweh rather than men. And we have to do these things that are pleasing to Him. And it will be as a witness. Matthew 24 and verse 14. "This evangel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." What we are involved with here does matter. It does have a purpose, and it's not just us, but around the world there are others striving to do what they can to help the people understand the deeper things of Yahweh's word. Today there are precious few who have a basic understanding of the message and are working to help others understand. So it's a good thing. From the start, we find that John the Baptist started out preaching what? What did he say? What did Joshua say? What did the disciples say? What were they told to say? What are we told to say? What are we teaching? Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, that was John the Baptist. How about Joshua? Joshua, Matthew 4:17, "From that time Joshua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the start of his ministry. And yet you find ministries saying, "Just come as you are. It's a free-for-all. We're very ecumenical. It doesn't matter what you do. We love everyone. Live the way you want. Just be friendly, loving towards one another." It's an error. Do people want to hear that? No, not at all. Most do not. But as this message goes forth, I think there will be more that we'll hear. And it gives us an opportunity to continue the work. It also gives us an opportunity for growth, because we are called to not just be here and be obedient, but to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Master and of the Father, as the Aramaic New Testament brings out. Matthew 10, verse 7, "And as you go preaching, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the disciples were to go, and they were to teach. Hey, look, the kingdom of Yahweh is coming. Guess what? We're going to be obedient to the law in that kingdom. A lot of people don't want to hear about obedience, but yet it's something that needs to be preached. And we're given the power to do so. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit after it has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Has the work stopped? No. I think in many respects it has just begun, even though there's been some time that has passed. So who gets the honor and the glory, and, you know, is it us doing it? No. 1 Corinthians 1:29 through, or 26 through 29. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But Elohim has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And Elohim has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong and the base things of the world. And the despised Elohim has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before Elohim." As the Apostle Paul also said, because many times we find ourselves wondering, well, what's going on? There's so few of us. We're having a hard time and difficulties. I had to think about this throughout this last week. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells us, "We walk by faith, not by sight." If you go away with anything from this message, remember that. Don't necessarily pay attention to the things that you see. Have faith that Yahweh will work out the things that are being worked out in you and in your life for Him. But don't walk away. Do those things which are pleasing to Him. So we walk by faith, and not by sight. So don't be discouraged by the few brethren around us and that not many are accepting the call to come out of the world to do Yahweh's will at this time. But how many were in Noah's Ark? How many disciples were there? Yahweh provides what is needed for his will to be worked out, whether by few or by many. And I say this as much to myself as I say to you. Don't be discouraged. There is a great responsibility in performing the Great Commission. Thankfully, Yahweh's Spirit of Truth is here to help us overcome to the end, preaching by various means, repentance, and the coming kingdom, of whom Yahshua the Messiah will be king, and is, in fact, now our king and high priest. And we can thank Yahweh for all this and more. He has called you and I to a great purpose and a great commission. What is that purpose and what is the Great Commission? It's found in Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:18-20. And Yahshua came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The authority given to Yahshua is a reflection of Yahweh's will and permission for him to proceed as king. Yahshua has given us permission and the command to proceed as well. Eventually, if we overcome to the end, we will sit with him on his throne in the coming kingdom, as Revelation attests to. Yahshua, as you recall, does not speak on his own authority. But now all judgment has been given to him, and he is coming to establish the kingdom of Yahweh. Daniel 7, just so we have a better understanding of this, 7 and verse 13 through 14 of Daniel. "I kept looking in the night visions," Daniel speaking, "and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." And of course, we understand that Yahshua is the exact representation of Yahweh. It doesn't mean that he is the Father doing away with his sonship. And of course, we have studies on that. But notice that it speaks of the Ancient of Days. It is Yahweh, the Ancient of Days. There's a distinction that is being spoken of. Yahshua is granted all judgment under the further direction of Yahweh. The amazing thing is we can rule with him, helping others in this same kingdom. Stop and think for a moment. What are you doing? What are we doing to serve right now? What are we doing to prepare for this kingdom? Are we not to help others learn of the kingdom lifestyle even now, keeping in step with the word of Yahweh? And as we've already looked, it's by example. It's by the things that we do that are in accordance with Yahweh's word. Yes, we can share by word of mouth. We can share literature. We can share DVDs. We can do all of this. We can just be encouraging and help someone. And then when we come to the Feast of Tabernacles or another appointed time of Yahweh, they can ask, "Well, where are you going?" And we can tell them, "We're going to serve Yahweh." We don't have to be arrogant about it. We don't have to pour out the floodgates upon them, trying to teach them everything that we've come to learn. But when they start asking questions, we can answer. Yahweh will give us the words. And if we don't feel like we have the exact words to give, we can share with them studies and things. "Well, let me get back to you on that. I know of a study. I think you would really enjoy that. I think it answers your question," and then share it with them. Let's go back to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Yahshua came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are to make disciples, that is, ones who are taught and instructed. And of course, we teach and instruct out of Yahweh's word. Genesis to Revelation. We are also to help baptize, but into what? Into the name of Yahshua, correct? We understand that Matthew 28:19 has been tampered with by the biased scribes around the 4th century. And, of course, we have a mini-study on that, but they were evidently excited about their false Trinity or oneness doctrine. It's that anti-Messiah spirit at work. They were so excited that they were willing to do whatever necessary to promote it, even adding to Yahweh's word, which, of course, we're warned against. And I think a lot of the false doctrines would be dealt with in a very succinct manner if they just wouldn't add to and take away from Scripture. Scripture clarifies itself. We're helping people to understand that this is part of the process. I mean, that, you know, some of the things have happened. I shouldn't say it's part of the process. Maybe I should. It's part of the process to help people understand the word, that these things have happened, that Yahweh's name has been stamped over because of tradition, because of men. And that's been a problem ever since Adam and Eve were created. But helping to understand this is part of the process of teaching all nations, that is, the peoples of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and any who will join, right? Are we learning while we're teaching? I think so. I think we have a better grasp of this now than we've ever had. But the main point brought out, though, is that Yahshua will be with us until the end of the age. At the end of the age, we are changed into spirit beings if we overcome to the end. And we'll rule with him, having learned valuable lessons in this life and having endured and having been faithful, will be as he is even now. The ramifications are mind-boggling and well worth giving up everything in the world. Have we really given up everything? I mean, have we? We all have to ask this question. Are we fighting the good fight? Are we resisting the devil? Is he fleeing from us? Are we resisting hard enough? You know, let's examine ourselves and judge ourselves, lest we be judged, because it's a process that we're going through. Are we helping others along the path that leads into eternal life? Let's commit ourselves to the Great Commission if we haven't already. Let's pray and fast for a rejuvenation and a zeal to recommit if we have already committed but have lost some of the zeal we first had. Yahshua is faithful. Praise Yahweh. Let's continue on with the Great Commission and enter into eternal life and the coming kingdom, of which there will be no end.